Welcome to the Junior Golf Blueprint, episode 44, presented by Matt Walter, PGA Teacher Professional. So today was the final round as we wrap up US Kids Worlds 2018. It's been a heck of a ride, a lot of fun. I always enjoy being there. I see so many people that I'm blessed to have the opportunity to know, from running a local tour to teaching them, either previously or currently. I mean, it's just a lot of fun, and you know, it feels like home to me even when I'm away, just because of the amount of people I get to interact with. Despite being there for my player full-time, you just can't help but bump into people sometimes as you walk around the resort. So with that, we'll give you the final round recap, how it all shook out in the end. The previous two rounds went 82-79. We did get threaded into the bottom half of the field just barely. So we ended up having a late tee time to play our final nine holes. So let's talk about it. So final round, last chance to prove a point and make a statement. So, you know, the way I always look at multi-day tournaments is that some days can be in your pocket, and then other days it can be out of pocket, and you just got to take every chance, every swing, every moment as its own. And shouldn't matter whether you've played terrible the first 2 days, you can have a hot third day, it doesn't matter. And that should always be your attitude, is that every day is a new day and every swing is a new swing, and that's just the way it should go. So kind of got off to a funky start this morning. We didn't know when we were tee off exactly, so we rolled up to the golf course just assuming a noon start. We weren't positive on what half the field we'd be in, and we were just kind of, you know, waiting to see it, because if we ended up in the bottom half, we would, you know, be at the top end of the bottom half, so which means we'd tee off late. If we were in the top half of the field, we'd be at the bottom of the top half of the field, so we'd tee off pretty quick. Round noon was my guess, and I ended up being correct with that. And so we get there, watch our friend finish up, watch everybody come in, watch scores get posted, and lo and behold, we get threaded to the bottom half of the field, and so we were going to tee off super late, not till 3:45, and it was like 10:45, 11 when we figured that out. So we were like, crap, we gotta kill a lot of time. So we ended up going to Biner's 2, eat lunch, and we played around on a little putting green putting course called Thistledew that they have there, which is a lot of fun. Yeah, it's just a good way to blow off some steam. You know, is it a great idea to go putt on greens that aren't the greens you're playing on? No, but at the end of the day, we're gonna still go through our whole warm-up routine, go through our our process, and you know, make sure that we cover our cross our T's and dot our I's, so cover our bases there. And so we just went and had a little bit of fun and just killed time, really. It was the easiest way to do it with the least amount of energy, and we had a lot of fun on that, putting around the golf course. The guy to the golf course round two started our warm-up routine, putt for a while, hit a bunch of wedges because we knew we were going to hit them today. We've hit them every day, so we just kept practicing that, trying to get dialed in. Didn't really hit a whole lot of drivers because we know we got that figured out. So we just worked on the short game for the 2 hours left to our tee time. Kid pumped a drive on one and hit a pulley kind of wedge, so we decided to hit like a small chip. Should have been easy up and down, made bogey, so no big deal. Had another great drive, great 3-wood, wedged onto a par 5 and parred it. And then we had an incident on the third hole, not us, but our opponent in our group, that was interesting. And so it's a moment for me to teach y'all a little bit of something. So there's different ways of looking at it. I'll tell you my perspective. So anyways, the third hole had a thick tree line up the right side, and there was hazard stakes by the tee box. Well, the hazard stakes ran out at the tee box / beginning of the fairway and just circled back into the hazard and didn't continue up the side of the fairway. Well, the one kid in our group pumped it into the trees. He said it's hazard. I was like, probably. We never hit anywhere close to there for three rounds, so we never really worried about it, be honest. And so we get up there, and I start to go look for his ball, and there's no line, no stakes. Well, the kid's adamant that it's hazard, and I said, no, there's no line, no stakes. There's nothing here. It's definitely a lost ball. And he goes, well, can we call a rules official? And we said, sure. I mean, that's your prerogative. You can call a rules official And again, to, you know, all you kids out there, he did the right thing. If, you know, if you feel like it's a ruling a certain way and you want to know for sure, call a rules official. He did the right thing. I'm not saying he did the wrong thing. He wasn't right, but he did the right thing because he thought the ruling was a hazard. So I said, look, go back and re-tee. We'll play two balls until the rules official shows up. And we'll, you know, drop it as if it's a hazard on their second ball. But either way, go back and re-tee because I think you're going to have to either way. Of course, he was going to have to re-tee. So he hit his tee ball. And he hit his second shot from his second tee ball. And the rules official rolls up, said it's not a hazard. And so we didn't have to play two balls. We didn't have to get to that point because I was right. But, you know, again, to the point, though, if you're not sure of a ruling, get a rules official there and ask the question. Tell them the situation, circumstances, and let them help you figure it out so you get the best answer possible. And, you know, that's all you can do. So, you know, we moved forward from that, but there was a little funny joke I had in there with my kid because when the rules official showed up, he goes, "Hey, Johnny," which is the kid that was in question, his name. I looked at my kid and I said, "It's going to be a long day when the rules official knows your opponent by name." So I thought that was kind of funny, but that's just me. So the round goes on. You know, it's the same kind of story. Short game. He got home in two on a par five that nobody we played with got home in two, and nobody I know got home in two on. It was incredible. I mean, he had to hit a perfect tee shot every round, and he only missed it once. You know, he was coming off a bad hit anyways before that, and so I think it was before that tee shot, so I think he was just kind of rattled when he hit that tee ball anyways. But in the third round, he hit a perfect driver. I mean, I could not have placed the ball anywhere closer to where I wanted to hit it. And then we had three wood in, and the group behind us, it's this blind tee shot where we were. You couldn't see. And the group behind us had just hit one in the hazard, like literally 23 yards behind us. And in the middle of the kid's backswing, a ball flies into the trees like 10 yards behind us. Didn't faze him. He smokes this three wood, flies it to the green, and goes over. And it was like a 230 three wood he had to hit. It was nuts. I mean, it was 200 in the air to get to the flag, about 195 to cover the front. And he just murdered it. It was unbelievably awesome. We made bogey. But, you know, it is what it is. It just kind of proves a point. And I learned a lesson when I was his age, when I was younger. And I was telling him this, too. It's like, you can hit different clubs well and different clubs poorly. But you don't want to let it mix breed in the sense that if you're not chipping and putting well, don't let it affect how you drive the ball and hit your irons. And he did just that. I mean, he drove it beautifully, hit irons, unbelievable irons. And we just didn't get the ball in the hole. And, you know, and that's the ultimate goal when it comes to a world championship, right? You got to get the ball down. But the two shots he hit on that par five will be in my head for a long time because they were just, it was insanely good. Nobody we played with got there. Nobody I talked to got there in two. I mean, it was really special and just proves my point. The kid was hitting it better than anybody out there. I truly believe it. I didn't see anybody on the driving range get out hit the way he was hitting it. It's just, you know, it's just tough when you know the wedge and the putter wasn't getting it done. And, you know, we just got to work on it. But anyways, we moved forward and we got to nine, had the same fairway bunker to play out of at our second shot. Hit another stone, another iron into the green. Landed it within a few yards of the flagstick, just didn't hold because it was on a downslope. Made par, and we wrapped up the tournament with a 40 in the third round. So we got blue status, I think, for that effort. We finished 11th in our half the field. And, you know, it was just a good day. I had to cancel my flight to stay on the bag, but that's besides the point. I'd do it every day of the week and twice on Sunday to be there and help the kid out. It was a lot of fun, and, you know, I enjoyed the opportunity to be there. When we got done, I told the kid, I said, you know, I couldn't be any more proud of the way you hung your head, grinded it out, and stayed tough despite the fact of the disappointments that you were fighting in your round. And, you know, he never really let it get to him. There were some times where it felt like he was going to mail it in, and I just kind of told him, I said, if you're pissed, use it. You know, if you're mad, use that. Turn it into something. Don't feel sorry for yourself, because right now you don't have the time or the pleasure to feel sorry for yourself. You got to turn around and do it. And he would do just that. He'd stand up there and stone the next shot. So he's got what it takes in the head. He just got to believe in it now himself, I think. That's the next step. But it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun to listen to all my other players. But on a side note, this is also going to segue to the next podcast I'm going to produce. The whole time we're out there, my PJ Junior League team, all-star team, was playing for a state championship during this third round, and I was getting blown up, and I'll be honest, I wasn't positive that we would make it through the first two rounds of match play to go to the state championship tomorrow on Sunday, and the kids did it. So we're playing for a state championship Sunday. I'm going to be rolling into town at the wee hours of the morning and have to get a few hours of sleep to show up to the golf course the next day to get it done. It's going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait to see what happens at the PJ Junior League All-Star break. But as far as US Kids Worlds go, to wrap things up, to conclude our series, some of the main highlights I'll tell all you kids out there to think about and focus on is you gotta prepare to the nth degree. Wake up every morning, ask yourself, am I doing everything I can to be better than I was yesterday? Am I working on the things that I need to do to improve my game, or am I working at the things that I like to do? Because sometimes working on the things that you don't like is what's going to make you better. So you have to keep that in the back of your mind, is you have to know where you're at, what's your strengths, what your weaknesses, and what you got to do to improve. And in Luke's case, it was a short game, and so hopefully he focuses on that. He's got another big event at the end of the week, at the end of the month, and we'll see what happens. But, you know, just do that. Create goals, create checklists, and knock it off and get ready for your event. And then no matter what happens, whether you show up and perform or whether you fail, you have to enjoy the experience. Remember, it could be the first and only try you have at it. And if that's the case, you just have to know that it's not the end of the world, and you have to learn from that experience and, you know, enjoy every moment, even though, you know, it's really hard to do that if you don't play well. And I understand that. I was a kid too, and it's really hard to enjoy not playing well. But I think at the end of the day, it's not how you play that matters. It's whether you learn something from it. And I think Luke learned something this week. So kudos to that kid, and I was proud of him. So with that, I'm going to sign off on this four-part series of my US Kids podcast. Hope you've enjoyed it. Hope you enjoyed the tall tales and enjoyed listening on how we went through our round, and maybe gleaned a couple nuggets from what we've done, and maybe you can take that information and use it to better your game before your world championship. So until then, next podcast, we're going to talk about that PJ Junior League fun that we're going to have, and talk about that team title that hopefully we win. So until then, follow me on social media. You can go at Matt Walter PGA for Instagram or Twitter, and then we have a Junior Golf Blueprint Facebook page, so don't be afraid to hop on there and like it. This will release all the podcasts and keep up to date on that. And until then, talk to y'all later.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.